This is getting a bit ridiculous now, isn't it? I promise you that no matter what that fool says in about 30 seconds' time, this is, in fact, episode 10. So please enjoy. Welcome back, everyone, to episode 11 of The Secret of Castronegro with our glorious, illustrious special guests, the Apocalypse Players, and our glorious, illustrious, regular player, Scott, and with me, Andy, running this motley crew through what I think is a fine old scenario, regardless of the wonkiness of some of it. But Secret of Castronegro.
Or the players.
Yes, the wonkiness of the players. The rather primitive nature of some of the map art, let's say, which we decided looks like it had been drawn by either a five-year-old or someone with a blindfold on. But far be it for me to judge. But yes, in our last session, a barn was discovered and some beans were eaten. And that's more or less all that happened. That really was literally all that happened.
I'm not sure the beans were even eaten yet. The beans were ordered.
No.
No, we've just ordered them, yeah.
To be precise, some beans have been ordered, and I'm sure they will be eaten at some point soon, in the near future. But yes, we left both of our groups in a moment of discovery, peril, or intrigue, depending on how you want to play it. But yeah, we will return to Lionel Fish and Dr. Bastian Fleischmann, or Archduke Sebastian, Archduke Bastian, in the Changeling Tavern, where they've ordered a trencherman's lunch, let us say, enough beans and eggs for the entire group, I would say, plus more. They had been followed in to the Changeling by two goons, I suppose you could call them, two large, brawny men in working men's clothes, after rebuffing the Dr. Vieira Pereira in the Diaz Hotel. And this is where we rejoin them, sitting in the gloomy corner of the Changeling Tavern, with a table groaning with plates of beans, eggs, and a bit of bread to mop up the juices, whilst two brawny and not too friendly-looking men glare at them from the other side of the room.
Well, I wasn't joking about ordering them drinks along with ours. And
yes,
what I wanted to do, ideally, was first of all have a quick word with the doc and say, Doc, yeah, in that bag of tricks you got, Doc, have you got anything in that bag of yours that might help two new friends over there feel a bit more relaxed? You know, real relaxed.
Oh, yeah, I am sure we are having something in the bag. Let me see, what are we thinking? I have a rectal peraldehyde?
I mean, the two of them do look like assholes, but maybe not.
Amphetamines, opium, bromide pills. Bromide is a sedative. Phenobarbital.
You're the doctor. I mean, you got the certificate and everything. Which pills would be the best ones to give him?
Yeah, absolutely. And I also know which pills are which.
But whatever it is, it's got to be something that's going to dissolve real quick and not be obvious.
Right. Let's see.
A little tramadol gel frazee.
I dare you to play that as your next character.
Tramadol gel frazee.
Hello. My name is Tramadol Jalfrezi. You killed my father. Prepare to die. It's got to be done now.
Yeah, well, I do have liquid phenobarbital.
Of course he does.
Yeah. I mean, if you think that's the stuff.
I say, taking out something that looks like a jug. I've got loads of this stuff.
A carafe.
Can you put some of that in, like, a small bottle that I can hide in my hand?
Yeah. One moment. And do some shifting around in the bag. And I pull out probably a syringe, like a hand-sized syringe of phenobarbital.
Okay, which I can tuck up my wrist.
That's enough to put a cow to sleep.
Doc, if these guys have too much of this stuff, it's still going to be safe, right?
Oh, we will be very safe.
Oh, good. Yeah.
And I put my finger in the jar and have a little sip myself. It's good for anxiety in small amounts.
Yeah, well, keep some handy then. I may need it in a minute. So I'll go up to the bar and just say, let me give you a hand. I'll take my drinks over to the table. It's okay. And, two drinks for our new friends over there.
And Diaz says, well, you are very generous, Senor Fish. Yes. Of course. Great juice all round. And he snaps his fingers and the barman pours out four good slugs of the... Is it gin? What is it? What is grey juice? I can't remember.
It's a very good question.
We don't ask.
Don't ask, don't tell.
Formaldehyde.
Well, let me tell you, the interesting thing about a white spirit is actually they are all fundamentally the same. So gin is effectively flavored vodka. So call it what you like. I call it grey juice. It's a pure, unadulterated alcoholic spirit, completely pure. It contains no formaldehyde, no other flavorings or colorings that some lesser distillers use in their products. It's pure alcohol.
And that isn't Gilbert Gray actually saying that. It's actually his little sort of advertising card that he's left at the bar with, like, testimonial from...
That's etched into every glass.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you get this... heady whiff of the 80% alcohol. I mean, it's strong, but it's not rough. It's actually a very fine liquor, of course, because Gilbert knows his stuff.
So what I'm going to do is, yeah, with a bit of a flourish, I'll go to pick up my two drinks. But the two drinks that have been poured for our two new friends, I'm going to make best use of all these points that I put in sleight of hand and basically keep the syringe up my sleeve, the tip of it poking out between two fingers, and then just give a surreptitious squirt of the phenobarbital into the other two drinks as I'm picking up ours.
And now we are getting into roofie territory, clearly. We weren't last time because it was a reverse roofie, but now you're doing an actual roofie, so all good. Scott, yes, Lionel, please make me that sleight of hand roll.
There's no way this can go wrong.
Goodness, literally cooling down the powers.
What could possibly go wrong? Yes.
Very little.
I sense another fumble coming.
As long as you don't fumble, right?
What are the chances?
It squirt phenobarbital into my eyes.
You overshoot.
From all the way across the room.
This could be a very short episode. And I don't mean that in an ominous way. I mean literally, because we spent the first half an hour just trying to... start the bloody recording.
Yeah.
Right. It's loaded. Right. Sleight of hand.
Here we go.
Oh, it's very, very nearly a fumble.
Oh, so close to danger.
But it's not a fumble. It's not a fumble. Okay, so...
Please push it.
As the drinks tray is sort of passed over to you and you start kind of sliding down the syringe out of your hand, it actually starts slipping out of your hand, the syringe. What do you want to do?
Oh, in which case, I'll make a big deal, a big production of spilling one of my drinks, one of the drinks I'm picking up, and knock the glass over so that it rolls off the bar, and say, oh, sorry, I'm so clumsy, so clumsy. Look, I'll pay for a whole new round of drinks, and I'll pay for the breakage of the glass, everything like that. But, and while I'm doing all that and keeping the bartender distracted, I'll have quickly shove the syringe back into place and have another go at squirting.
So I'll allow you to either use sleight of hand to push it, or you could use fast talk, because it sounds like a distraction. It's up to you.
Oh, yeah. I am marginally better at fast talk.
Okay.
And yes, that would have been a success either way.
Marginally? It would have. And you narrowly avert disaster falling on you as you manage to grip the syringe tightly between your forefinger and your middle finger. And then you plunge down with your thumb on the injector, and two long squirts of phenobarbital go into the two newly poured out grey juices for your friends, who perhaps are looking over from as a result of the commotion that was going on, but don't seem to be overly concerned as they start shoveling beans into their mouths.
And once I've got the replacement drink for the one that I sacrificed, I'll take them back over to the dock and say, so, Doc, how long does this stuff take to work?
That is a very good question.
Yeah, that's why I asked it.
That's the sort of thing that would come up on an exam.
That you passed, of course.
I've sat many exams. You have to, when you're a fully qualified doctor.
Sometimes you sat the same one 7 or 8 times.
Literally Googling, how long does phenobarbital take to work?
Well, that's in your search history now.
Yeah.
Yep.
In a bar, if you introduce phenobarbital into someone's drink unknowingly...
It says it begins to act in about 60 minutes.
Oh, God.
But the duration lasts for 10 to 12 hours.
Let's not be too much of a stickler for reality, because otherwise this whole subterfuge
We've got another 6 courses of beans coming. We're in no hurry.
Fair enough.
And we don't necessarily have to play it in real time. I know we generally do, but...
Okay, well, let us say...
And it was a lot of phenobarbital.
Let us say that this is extremely fast-acting phenobarbital. You've made your way through the first 3 courses of beans. You've had beans in a nice sort of salted pork stew. You've had beans in a more traditional sort of Western sauce.
Beans a la beans.
And you've had refried beans, the more sort of lesser, the more sort of a sort of paste almost.
Re-beaned beans.
Yes, to go alongside your fried eggs, your boiled eggs, your poached eggs, and then your omelette, which is brought out.
Bean omelette.
And during this time, you're glancing over at the 2 men as they're knocking back their grey juice and sitting there silently staring you out. And after about half an hour, their eyelids start to flutter and droop. And they both start sort of slumping a bit lower in there on the bench that they're sitting on until the quiet of the changeling is interrupted by loud snoring coming from their direction. And you have successfully Mickey Finned a couple of heavies.
So, Doc, I guess all we need to do now is hope the other fellas make it back here real soon. Real soon.
Yeah. How hard can it be? They just have to walk up there and see who's got a gun. What else could they possibly find out there except perhaps a mountain lion?
And with that perfect moment to segue over, we will cut over to Shepherd's Barn. What else could they possibly find up there? Yes, so the 3 of you, Gilbert, Harlan, and Jesse, you're inside the barn now, poking around in there on the far right-hand side of the barn behind the crates. There's a trap door, the edge of a trap door hasn't been fully covered up by one of the crates. And there's a pile of black clothing neatly folded up next to these silver sickles and 3 of these oriental statues.
And was it just one pile of clothing?
Yes. It's several items, but neatly piled up, folded and piled, black.
And was it 3 sickles or just 1 sickle?
3 sickles, 3 silver sickles. In case you wonder, they are full size. They're not like little trinkets or miniatures.
Well, yeah, like...
Very unusual. Obviously, silver is not... You can tell by looking at it, it's not silver-coloured.
Oh, it's actual silver.
It's actually made from silver. You know that sort of patina that you get on silver. And clearly not resilient of metals to make a weapon out of.
Grey, what do you make of these? Sorry, Brown.
Be worth a fair bit, that's all I was going to say. But yeah, Gilbert, what were you going to say?
No, damn straight.
Let me have a look. I've sort of made my way from, I think when they went in, I sort of worked my way around and I was stood outside the door for a bit. And I've kind of been constantly bringing up the rear, a little bit concerned that all the commotion might have drawn attention. But I think, yeah, I come and join them at that moment. Let me take a look at those. Do they look like they have been recently used to do anything or are they squeaky clean?
They are clean, but the blades are worn in places and scratched as if they have been used for something. They don't look ornamental. They look like they have actually been used.
And are the blades, they're sharp? Sharp enough to...
Yeah, they are. But as I said before, the silver probably doesn't make a particularly sharp edge. But yeah, they're as sharp as you could probably get them. It looks like they have been perhaps sharpened, you know, several times. The edges are a little bit more worn down and not as lustrous where the whetstone has been applied.
Yeah. Oh, well, I relate to this. Yeah, as you can see... They look like they've been used, but I don't know what you'd make a sickle out of silver for. It's completely impractical.
Some sort of uniform, maybe. I think while he relays that, I pick up the mass of black cloth and shake it out and see if it's potentially 3 robes or anything of the kind.
What makes you think that?
I've no idea.
Yeah, the trope. You pick up the tropes from the floor.
3 black Slipknot hoodies.
When you pick them up, you realise they're made from velvet, black, folded black velvet, and they are, in fact, robes. There are 6 of them in total.
Wow. I wasn't expecting velvet.
In that smooth southern style? Or?
Yeah.
Wow.
As he shakes one out, or if you pardon the expression.
Hey, don't watch!
I stroll over, as if I'm not really paying attention to what they're doing, but acutely triggered by the fact they're both doing this, to the other side of the trapdoor, and I just rest, like a gunslinger from the 1880s, I just rest my already readied weapon looking at the trapdoor, and I go, "How many are there?" to Jesse.
6, boss, 6.
How many sickles, Gray?
just three.
Hmm. Well, that math don't match.
I immediately gauge what he's actually talking about, and I drop them, and I make sure my rifle's loaded, and I take a squat facing my rifle at the trapdoor as well.
What do you want to do, boss?
I want to hear Gray's theory. You talk to me, Gray.
Well, I think we've all got a bit carried away by bear traps, injured horses, diseased plants, mysterious obelisks, ghostly flautists, murderers' robes, silver sickles. But we came up here to find out whether anyone might have got a bead on the hotel and taken a shot at us. Forgive me if my kidneys are really playing up and it plays havoc with my memory.
Teach, I think in a way you're right. I mean, sorry, Gilbert, I owe you more than Teach now after you saved Shatterhand. In a way, the shot might have come from here. I mean, I ain't no whiz on the old brains front, but something's going on in this whole environment as a whole, right? And that statue in the church, that priest ain't working for no church. This statue ain't no Christian statue. It's pointing to a place we've seen evidence that Lane, the guy we came here to find, being buried here. Now, I think that's all connected. So whoever took a shot at us from that casa, there's every chance that this is all connected with whoever that might have been. So I think you're right in a way.
Easy there, Brown. Don't go jumping to no conclusions regarding burials.
Sorry, boss.
No, it's all right, Jesse. I like your enthusiasm.
I guess what I'm saying is we can see some silver sickles here, which may be seven ceremonial silver sickles. And it reminds me of one of those tongue twisters I used to teach in my school. Seven ceremonial silver sickles. But they clearly, these folks, whoever they are, aren't afraid to use firearms. So if you're thinking what I think you're thinking, Blake, about heading down there in that trapdoor, we should be prepared to meet fire with fire. You know what I mean?
Listen, we talked about a lot of plans before we left the hotel. I'm worried that Fish and Fleischman might be a little wound up in some of those confusions, too.
Oh, they can take care of themselves. They won't do anything foolish.
You're right. Of course you're right.
I love the cross-commentary. It's always brilliant.
Well, since you put it that way, I say we check this out, at least, since we're here.
Let's do it.
You've got that .38 of yours.
I do.
Right, Gray?
And I slip my .38 into my hand, check that it's loaded.
We need some light down there.
I'd like to think if this were a film, the camera would just cut back to us starting our eighth bowl of beans.
Yeah. Okay, so who's doing what? Someone's going to have to shift the crates. And someone's going to have to open the trapdoor, of course.
I mean, I'm happy to shift the crates. I feel like I'm the grunt here, in a certain way.
I'm above average strength, but not, like, massively.
Well, if we're being open, my strength is 65, but...
57. I'm thinking crates, they could be tricky, right?
The crates are all empty, actually.
Oh, okay, yeah. We'll do a check.
They're light, and you can shove them out of the way easily.
Well, I think I'll start doing that. As I hear their conversation lean towards going into the darkness, I'll start surreptitiously sort of sliding some of the crates off the trapdoor until I'm told otherwise.
Okay. What are you doing with all the stuff that you found, by the way?
My instinct is to leave that as it is.
Yeah, good question, though. Do we leave it as it is now, or do we fold it back up again and leave it as we found it?
I would say found it.
Yeah.
Best we can.
Hey, Jesse, fold that up, leave it exactly as you found it.
Okay. I think I'll just chuck mine on top of a crate, and I say, yeah, good thinking, Teach. And I fold them up and sort of bundle them up again. Try and make them look as much as they did when I found them.
I wonder if this is triggering Harlan's OCD, seeing the way that you're not quite folding them.
Almost certainly. I put them on my chest, and I try and fold the sleeves over, but they just get crumpled, and I end up...
That's velvet. Why are you folding it like that?
Hey, crushed velvet. I thought it was called crushed velvet.
Sure.
Don't you have to crush it?
Okay, now listen. You just put those down there, that'll be fine.
Okay, all right.
We need some kind of light down there. I've got my lighter, that's it.
Can we have a look around the barn? Is there a torch that could be lit?
I'll tell you what, you can make a group luck roll.
Yeah, I might have had something on the horse.
That seems fair.
Do we just do an individual one?
No, it's group. So I'm on 60.
Well... I think that's good, because I think you've probably got the lowest luck out of everyone.
My luck is 42.
Yes, and you passed.
Great.
So unless Dannon's got lower than that...
No, mine's better, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. There is actually a lantern hanging on a hook, quite close to where the trapdoor is.
Hey, here we go. You want to take this?
Okay, I'll take point. When you did the seven sickles, you sounded so much like Tom Waits, it was great.
Really?
But I didn't know how to get that back in. So I had to let it go.
What are they building down there?
Exactly. What's he building in there?
Yes, you have an oil lantern, which you can light with matches or your lighter. And Gilbert?
So I think Jesse was going to push the crate. Maybe I'll lift the trap door.
Okay.
And Harlan, you taking the lantern. And
I mean, I'm hoping it's a short range deal. I mean, obviously, if it's suddenly long range down there, well, we didn't know that.
We might have to rethink it, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, by then it'll be too late if something's coming up at us. But I'm thinking short range for the pistol is the best choice. So I'm gonna put myself in that position.
Okay, so you lift up the trap door and you see a long dirt slide almost. It's not steps. It's like a steeply inclined dirt slope leading probably down at about 65 degree angle. So it would be a real good slide going down there.
Yeah.
And as you lift it up, you can now distinctly hear flute music. You can distinctly hear flute music echoing up from below.
You hear that now, Blake?
Yeah. Damn it. Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
All right.
Didn't feel so inviting as it did before.
So I'm going to say crazies. That's what I'm saying. These guys are crazies.
Yeah.
They're into something.
Pretty organized for crazy. Crazy is normally instinctive, flying off the handle. Unpredictable. This is organized. Ropes, hold it.
You'd be surprised.
Several ceremonial silver sickles, you know?
It's the best way to play crazy, is to get real organized about it.
5 gold rings.
You're right.
Yeah.
Goddamn son of a bitch.
You think we should all head down there, or should one of us stay up here and keep watch? The last thing we want is to get trapped down there, you know?
Well, I was going to ask, like, there's probably no way of knowing for sure, because it might, of course, any tunnel could turn off at an angle at any point, but, like, is there an impression instantly of, like, sort of the general direction it's going in, the depth it's going in? Could I do some sort of roll to see where it seems to be headed, or...?
You can make either a spot hidden... Yeah, a spot hidden roll, let's say.
Oh, okay, spot hidden. Here we go.
While you're making that, I think I say, look, I've got 8 foot of rope back on Sally. That ain't enough. We need to come back here with 50 foot.
Yeah, true.
So, Jesse, no, it's hard for you to tell.
Can't get a sense of it.
Unless you wanted to spend some luck on the roll, of course.
Maybe a couple of 10-foot pulls. I don't know.
No, I think it's underground. Underwater? It's underground. That's not my expertise.
So maybe some kind of breathing apparatus, maybe.
Yeah.
Don't know much about that kind of thing, but...
Yeah.
No, but I think... If it's all right with you, I think we find the others. And if we need to come back here, we come back here. But we got statuettes that map up. We got...
Yeah.
You close that. Let's get out of here and let's talk over by the horses.
That padlock was broke clean off the chain there. It's not like we can disguise the fact we've been in here. If that's what you're hoping, anyone who comes up here who knows what they're looking for will know that this place has been disturbed.
True. But we can at least make sure anyone coming up from underground doesn't get out. We could pull the crates over it more thoroughly. But no, that doesn't make sense.
Well, the people down there playing the flute, and they might be innocents. They might be innocent, like a folk outfit.
Innocent flutists.
Yeah.
Innocent concert orchestra.
I hear this disembodied voice laughing at me like it's an insane suggestion that these might be innocent.
I'm listening, Gray. You spin me a yarn, I'll listen.
Well, listen, we might have got our wires crossed. We pull the crate over there, the trap door shut, maybe the starved of oxygen, water, sustenance. We effectively kill maybe a whole...
Folk band. You're saying there's some kind of folk band down there?
Yeah, the whole wind section of an orchestra down there or something.
There could be an entire Morris dancing troupe down there.
Well, that would be no bad thing, okay? Morris dancers are a different breed, but...
Easy now. I had a relationship with a Morris dancer.
They say try anything once except for incest and Morris dancing, and it sounds like this town would be in trouble with both of those.
I wipe my brow. The sweat is running freely, and I just try and adjust my moustache, but I keep looking back at those robes.
All right. Do it. Shut the trapdoor. Pull the crate. Let's get out of here.
Let me just check that robe on the top. I need to make sure that that's folded properly.
As you lower the trapdoor and it shuts with a click, you hear one last refrain from the flute, a mournful, almost pitiable riff.
Captain Pugwash.
As the trapdoor closes. Right, and you fold up the robe. You fold up the robes and... You're going to try and at least make the padlock look like it has been broken? I guess that'd be almost impossible.
I'd like to take one last look at the sickles, if I can. And I don't know how much of my chemistry equipment I have with me. Obviously, I don't have like a full kit. But but I imagine in my bag or around my person, I might have a few bits and pieces. Is there a way I could tell whether they have been used to cut flesh? Is there any...
residue.
Residue of blood or anything on them.
Okay. I'll say you probably carry a little kit with you wherever you go.
It's very generous, thank you.
You're that kind of a chemist. You never know when you'll find a botanical that might improve the grey juice.
Yeah. Or help to ease my nephritis.
Yeah, indeed. But doing it in this barn will be hard. You need more light, and perhaps you need to go outside to do it.
Okay, so I say, hold up, before you close up, let me just take a look at one of these, and I pick up one of the sickles, sort of assuming that they've all been used for the same thing, and just take it outside so I've got a bit of daylight.
Okay, perhaps unpacking your traveling chemistry kit.
Yeah.
You have a few vials. You have certain substances that will tell you the chemical composition or the pH value of certain substances. And yeah, you have something to put the sickle down on so it doesn't get contaminated with the dirt. And then...
Yeah, I think maybe I take off my jacket if I have one and lay it on that or something.
And yeah, you take out various chemicals and pour them on the blade. And yeah, you can make a... Do you have a chemistry skill?
I certainly do.
Yeah, so you can make a chemistry roll.
Oh, come on. I'm definitely going to push it. My chemistry is so good.
At first, there's no reaction happening, but you're sure that there must be something because everything reacts, even, well, maybe except silver. Maybe that's what it is. So what are you going to do to push the roll?
I'm going to say, maybe I was wrong. Maybe they didn't use them all. Maybe they just used one of them. So I'm going to go back in and I say, I'll be quick. So rather than doing it out here in the open.
I'm still folding.
I go back in with the sickle and I get them all and I get the lantern. And so I'm now inside the barn because I don't want to be going back and forth and back and forth. So I'm now inside the barn with a lantern really close to all three sickles.
Yes. And you're no doubt very flammable compounds.
Yeah.
Classic.
Oh, no, not another.
I was going to burn the fucking barn down, aren't we? Oh, Jesus.
So I've got the lantern. I've got the sickles laid out on the dry straw floor of the barn with all the wooden crates around. And I get my chemicals out again and I have another look.
Thank fuck for that.
Sorry to disappoint you, Andy.
Ah, well, you succeed. And maybe at one point the lantern does get a little bit close to... Maybe a splash from one of your compounds gets a little bit too close to that naked flame. And your two companions are looking in wide-eyed terror at the thought of the explosions that have happened, perhaps, or will happen in the future. But yes, you have ascertained something. There is the residue of something on all three sickles, actually. Mm. But it's not blood. And the pH reading is very confusing to you because it's actually gone off the scale.
Oh, God.
It's beyond the naturally occurring pH readings of anything that you are aware of occurring in organic compounds in this world.
Oh, that's so horrible.
Even Master Yoda doesn't have a pH level as high as this.
It's like it's broken the dial.
This can't be right. This doesn't make any sense. I mean, how disturbing do I find that?
I would say quite disturbing, because you know that there's almost fixed limits to what something can be, either acid or alkaline.
Yeah.
Like it's beyond the most alkaline thing that exists.
Wow.
And yeah, I'll say you can make a sanity roll for that.
Yeah.
Wow. The most scientifically based sanity roll I've ever seen.
Well, I mean, I figure I'm a chemistry teacher and this is impossible, isn't it? According to...
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Well,
wah.
You only lose 1 point of sanity for that because it's not shocking. It's just completely impossible and confounding to your logical mind that whatever these sickles have been either cut through or subjected to or come into contact with is not any organic compound that could possibly exist.
Fine. This doesn't make any sense. I can't explain it, but this is... Nothing is this alkaline. This is no compound. It's not blood. It's not an organic matter. I've never known anything that has this chemical composition. It's like something from... I can't believe I'm saying this, but something from another world or...
Easy there, Gray. Easy there. Now, you give me that lamp. You're getting a little crazy with it.
You can't argue with science. This is undisputable.
I ain't arguing with the science. I just want the lamp. Give me the lamp.
Take the lamp. I don't know what they've been cutting with this, but it doesn't make any sense. And I sort of stumble backwards away from the sickles, fumbling my bottles and putting them all back away.
Here, great. Teach. You think we should take him with us then?
No. We need to get out of here. This is something beyond. I need to contact the government and bring in. There needs to be some sort of scientific research party.
Some kind of special agency, maybe.
This could be a new discovery. We could be Nobel laureates.
All right, Jesse, get him some air. Him and his laureate. Get the laureate some air.
Here we go, Teach. Here we go. Here's a nice sip of laureate for you. There's laureate mineral.
I'll put this lamp back.
Yeah. Let's get ourselves out of here, yeah? We need to regroup with the others.
Yeah, I need to go away and maybe there's something I can... I need to get to the library. Maybe there's some precedent that I'm not aware of.
You go away with us for now, Teach, okay?
Sure, yeah.
Uppity, let's go, all right?
Okay, so, somewhat shaken. You take the somewhat shaken Gilbert Gray back to the horses. He's got, this very distant look in his eyes as if everything he'd ever known is being questioned about the world, about the universe.
They immediately panic and kick him to death.
Yeah, the horses. So are you just going to leave the barn as it is with the padlock broken? You're not...
I'm going with the instincts of the others, so...
Yeah, okay. And so you get back on your horses and ride back down.
Well, can I just check about that padlock? Just...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Obviously, he broke the padlock clean through, right?
Mm.
Is there any way that I could try and hazard a fix on that? Also, essentially saying, hey, Dr. Gray.
Hmm.
Sorry, I know you're not a doctor, but, to me, you may as well be.
Mm. Yeah.
I got to try and glue this thing back shut. Any way we can do that? I need your mind. I need your mind to focus on this. It'd be real useful.
Let me have a look. Well, I don't know much about locks, but...
I don't think we need to know anything about locks. We just need to make it look like it'll hold together.
Sure.
It's still afternoon. Ain't got much wind here.
I can have a look and then try and repair it.
What about some chewing tobacco? You got any, Jesse?
I'm not sure that's going to help. I think we're a mechanical job, this.
Yeah, so if someone wants to try and jerry-rig a fix for it, it would just be a regular mechanical repair roll.
Yeah, my mechanical repair is...
Because it looks like it's just sort of popped out, that maybe the locking mechanism has broken. It hasn't sheared off the metal. You just need to figure out how to get it to hold again.
My mechanical repair isn't good, but I'm happy to have a go. We might as well all have a go, I suppose.
Give me 1 second while you're doing that, or just before you do that. And I dash back in as silently as possible, and I place 3 large, I say large, but I'm within the context of a span of, is there any kind of hay or grass?
Yeah, it's not in the best shape. It's a bit rotten and musty.
So I take 3 stems of that very cleanly, and I place them on one side of the trapdoor in the classic old school, if it gets opened, they'll be moved.
Nice.
Okay.
And I just put them down, and then I dash back to the others.
Okay. Well, does someone want to try and make a mechanical repair roll?
I'll give it a go. No.
I think when you look at it and you try and jam it back in, you realize that the latching mechanism is just completely broken. You can push it back in, but anyone looking at it will immediately realize that force has been used to break it open previously.
Mm. I don't think there's a lot we can do about this, Blake.
I just wanted to hang on the door. Here. I pull up a bit of my shoelace and I cut it off. Using my knife, which I have in my boot, and I just tie it on and just sort of try and badly hide it behind it and just go, I don't know, from 20 yards, 10 maybe. After that, sure, they know we broke in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good thinking, boss.
That kind of thing. Do you want me to do a roll for that? I don't know.
No, I think that's fine.
It won't pass muster.
As you back away from the barn and you're kind of eyeballing the door, it looks like it hasn't been tampered with, but from a distance, when you were close up to it, you could see the interference. But yeah, if someone was riding past or walking past, they wouldn't realize that it had been broken.
Good thinking. So what, Gilbert, Teach, boss, we head back? I mean, the other guys, we've given them enough time to get into trouble by now, right?
Yeah, I expect they're probably just reading up on the town's history or something. They won't be getting into any trouble. Don't worry about them.
Yeah, or they'll have found a taster menu or beans or something ridiculous like that. That would have suited them to the ground.
Jesse, stop it. Stop it. It's just the stress.
Yeah, sorry.
I slap my thigh with the absurdity of it. Yeah, I wish. Anyway, look, we've got one working horse. Why don't we going to try and get two of us down there and one of us take Shadow Hands? Or is we all going to head together?
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Because I ain't leaving Shadow Hands, so either they go faster than me and I bring up the rear. I guess maybe that's the best way of doing it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll say that you head back down to Castronegro, to the town, down the trail through the hills, coming down from the south. The ground levels out as you approach the outskirts of the town. Harlan and Gilbert, you're on Sally, the two of you. And as you're riding into town, as you head towards the hotel, you see that there is a rather old, but in fairly good condition, a rather old but well-kept car just idling in front.
Oh, no.
And there is a tall, gaunt, dark-haired, green-eyed man with a doctor's bag just getting out of the driver's seat and heading into the hotel.
Excellent.
Let's hope our friend the Archduke doesn't catch a look of that.
What are you talking about?
You know what?
He doesn't like tall doctors? Looked like a doctor's bag.
I mean the vehicle.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, he does seem to have a bit of a hard-on for speed.
Yeah, I could say that again.
You saying that... Well, you think they ordered it? What?
I don't know. I don't know, but I think we should stay away from the hotel. I don't like the look of that character.
All right. Let's circle back round. Damn it.
Well, we never told them where we'd meet them. I suppose they might have found their way back to the Changeling.
It's a long shot, but...
That felt like the safest place in town, to be honest. Yesterday, when everywhere else we saw, that was the one place where...
Certainly with your name attached, yeah.
Well, exactly. It felt like maybe we had a bit of support there. Might not be a bad idea. Unless you got another thought. I am keen to have a look in the library, as I say, to see if there's any history of strange chemical compounds in this part of the country.
Well, listen, we said to Jesse that the fallback location would be the library, because you were keen on it. So he says, massively interjecting something that never happened.
I love it. What was heavily implied.
But we would never have been so stupid as to not have a plan to do something like that, right?
No.
So, Andy's not interrupted me, so I'm just going to keep going. I think the library's not such a bad call, but you could stroll over to the Changeling. I could watch the hotel for a bit, see if anyone comes out. You got a timepiece, we give it 15 minutes, and then we come back to the library.
Right, okay.
So I'll say in that time that you're waiting, perhaps discreetly, Harlan, with Sally tied up to a hitching post, Jesse does make it down on foot, because you weren't riding fast. You were just going at not much more than walking speed, to be honest.
Taking it very easy, yeah.
We'll leave you there waiting. And the camera will follow Gilbert Grey into the Changeling.
Excellent. Just as the bullet bursts my head.
Okay.
I don't want to presume what will happen, but yeah, so Gilbert, you keep a good distance away from the Herrera Hotel because of this, well, rather suspicious-looking character with a medical bag going in with intent. And you head into the Changeling, and you're greeted by a very enthusiastic greeting from Gilbert Diaz.
Hey, Senor Greyjuice! Ha-ha! Where... Oh, I'm so pleased you could make it. Your compañeros, they are already drinking and eating so much. You cannot imagine how much they eat.
Yeah, Lionel's sitting there leaning back against the wall, a swollen belly, yeah, and a bowl of beans in front of him that he's just staring daggers at.
I lean over to Lionel and say, would you like some amphetamines as well? I have a bit of a hard-on for speed.
Doc, what do you got in that bag that's good for wind?
Oh, I have some Rennies. Although they do look like the amphetamine, so your guess is as good as mine.
And Gilberto Diaz says, oh, it looks like these two couldn't handle their beans, though, he says, pointing at the two slumped.
Catatonic!
Or maybe the juice. Maybe the juice, eh? Where are you putting that? He seems to have knocked out these two tough guys here.
People don't usually have a problem with it. It must be their constitution.
See.
Maybe I should check they're okay.
Oh, I'm sure they're okay. They're just sleeping off a drunk. It's all good. No, you sit down, Senor Gray. I pour you one.
Yeah, I'll pull up a chair. Fleischmann, Fish, what's been happening?
Thank God you're back. We can't eat any more beans.
I never want to see another goddamn bean in my life.
Listen, we've seen some strange things up there in the hills, but I don't want to tell you now. We need to wait till we're all back together. But say, Fleischmann, is this your work, these fellas over here?
Ah, that was a group effort. Herr Fish here was very nimble with his fingers, slipping them the liquid phenobarbital.
Oh, I see.
Enough to kill a cow.
What?
They won't be waking up today or tomorrow.
Any idea who they are?
Doc, I asked you whether that was a safe dose.
Yes, they're not cows.
Yeah, look, Doc, I'll say, looking at Gilbert. Doc, we've been waiting on you. We've been trying to kill time until you came back because they sent Doc Vieira Pereira. He's down to the hotel. He's supposed to be taking us back up to the Casa del Diaz. And yeah, I don't know. I got a bad feeling about this. We wanted to hold off until you folks were back in town with your guns because, yeah, I don't think they're going to be too friendly to us when we get there.
Well done, Fish. I think you made the right call there. But you think these are Diaz's men? And look over at the two guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. They were following us even before we came in here.
Let me take a look at them. And I'd like to go over and the two guys were slumped. As long as I'm not being watched by Gilberto, I'd like to maybe give them a little pat down and see if there's... I suppose I'm specifically looking for, like, sickles or statuettes or anything identifying on their persons.
Okay. So I'm going to say you're going to need to make a luck roll to see whether you get an opportunity to do that, because there are obviously people in the bar, so it's about whether you can do it without being... Oh, my God.
Wow.
Wow. You get sanity back for that.
Do I?
Yes. I think that is a standard rule, isn't it? Or is it an optional rule? But if you roll a critical luck roll, you get sanity back. I don't think you've lost any sanity, really. But
well, just 1 point from my...
No, it's a D10, isn't it?
You get a D10 sanity. Okay, roll a D10. I mean, this has never happened before, so I might as well make hay while the sun shines.
But where's the dice roller live?
It's just on the left-hand side. There's a little 20-sided dice icon.
D10.
Just roll a D10. Well, 2. You're in credit.
I'm in credit. Fantastic.
Better than a poke in the eye.
Well, with that critical success, I'll say that you have all the time you need because Gilberto not only had the other patrons left, so it's just you, Fish, and Fleischmann, but Gilberto has gone down into the cellars, perhaps to get some more beans. Maybe you've run out of beans. He's gone down to get another sack of dried pinto beans.
Changing the bean lines. Yeah.
Yeah, so you've got all the time you want to search these two slumbering thugs.
Great. Well, I do. I pat them down.
And no sickles, no statuettes.
Great.
But each of them has both a long and vicious looking knife in a sheath, and on the inside jacket pockets, on the inside of their jackets, they both have revolvers.
Well, I think I might relieve them of their weapons.
Mm.
I wouldn't want them to hurt themselves while they're under the influence.
Very kind of you.
Yes, clearly. But they're out for the count, and you relieve them of their weapons.
And I bring them back over, and I say, and I sort of check again that I'm not being watched, and then I toss the two guns on the table, and I say, there. Now you won't need to wait for us to get back to town with our guns next time.
You know me, Doc. I never touch guns. You know me. And never touch them.
I think that's about to change, Fish.
Oh, God, not since that time in Albuquerque. No. You're not dragging me back into this, Gilbert. You're not dragging me back into this.
God damn it, Fish. Take a look around. Where do you think you are? What do you think's going on? You're being followed out here by heavies. There's some strange inbred family shooting at us from across the hill, sending doctors to bring you and this charming psychologist here up to the house to perform some sort of experiments on us. Cultists up there with ceremonial scythes, weird jade statuettes. You are in it, Fish. Take the gun. Use it if you need to.
I'm a psychiatrist, not a psychologist. I'm a qualified medical doctor.
And I think I'll say at this point that Harlan and Jesse, you've been waiting there long enough. You can only assume that Gilbert has rejoined your companions. Or maybe something has happened to him, because he's been in there a good long while now. But before you can actually make your way across to the changeling, the tall, dark-haired man with the green eyes comes back out of the hotel, and he looks angry. And he looks around the square, and not seeing, presumably he was looking for someone or something, and doesn't see it. And he just, his face goes another shade of red as he...
Puce.
Yeah, puce. He seems to be infuriated by this. And he gets into the car and slams the door and just roars off. Guns the engine and roars off.
I think I turn to Harlan and I say, "Hey, boss." Because we've not seen this guy before, have we?
No, you haven't.
Technically. So I sort of say, "Hey, you see that fella? About as distinctive as they come. Hey, I'm just going to check out his boot marks." And I sort of gamble over to the dust in which he left and see if I could maybe use a track roll to see if it's his shoes that have the cross marks on, or if I can find... Would that be fair?
Yeah, you can make a track roll.
Lovely. Where are my track skills? There they are. Excellent. Ah, oh, shite.
There's been some very swingy rolls today.
Yeah. I think I'm going to push it.
Okay, so you get down on your knee. Well, tell me how you're going to push it.
The dust is maybe still up in the air, and I choke on a bit of it. Ah, Jesus Christ. Can't tell where I'm coming or going. Sorry, boss. And I do get down on my hands and knees. I really sort of like settle myself and just get into a zen mode. That's not what I'd call it, but I just wait for the dust to clear, and I just focus on the grains themselves as closely as I can. And wait, how do I push the roll? Is it?
You just roll again. You just hit the green again.
Here we go.
Okay.
Fuck's sake.
Oh!
Yeah.
As you get down on your hands and knees and looking at the footprints, and your heart is in your mouth as you stare down and you see that there is a cross in the boot heel. And at that precise moment when you see that, you hear the creak of the hotel door open, and you hear a gruff voice saying, "You better stay down there."
Oh, shite.
And the click of a shotgun, hammer being pulled back.
Oh, fucking hell.
And I think that is where we will end the session.
Oh, great.
Very good stuff.
Brilliant. Lovely stuff.
On the cliff.
Lovely stuff.
Well done, everyone. That failed push on a 70. I mean, goodness me.
Yeah, that's unlucky.
Roll 20 wanted you to fail that push roll, I think.
It wanted me to die.
As it has from the start, I'd point out.
Yes. And I, for one, welcome our robot overlords. I'm happy with that.
Thank you time again, and as usual I wanted to thank all of our backers at all levels. We can't do the show without you. Well, we could, but it wouldn't be anywhere near as good, because with your support and help we can do all of the extra things that we want to do. I also want to thank all the players, who I realized I haven't really been thanking in our thanks section, so thank you to all the players. I love you all dearly, and I hope that we can continue doing Grizzly Peaks far, far into the future, until we're old and grey and can't remember what happened in the last session. Actually, I think that kind of applies to me already, but for the rest of you, you'll get there soon, don't worry. And if you do like our show, which I assume you are if you've listened all the way to the end, then do come and join the fun at patreon.com/grizzlypeaks. Look forward to seeing you there.